It's time once again for the Immigrant Stories program. I'm your host, Walter Gallagher, and my guest today is Bill Barnes. Bill is a self-described numbers guy. In fact, he's spent his career in numbers. In 1959, he graduated from Denver University with a degree in accounting, and he returned home to marry Barb, the love of his life. That's when he went to work for Dan Handy's accounting firm, and that's where he met Cliff Haycock. He and Cliff eventually bought the business from Handy, and for the next 40-plus years, they ran the Barnes Haycock accounting firm. We start our interview as Bill describes how his parents came to Colorado.
As far back as I can go, you know, my dad was from Illinois, a place called Taylorville, which is about, I think, about 60 miles from Springfield. But that's where he grew up. And then my mom was actually from a place called Seneca, Missouri. And that's, that's about 20 miles from another town called Joplin, which is a little bigger. And that's where she came from. And they both actually met in Rifle. And I'm not sure exactly how Dad and Mom got to Rifle, but they got to Rifle and they got married there.
About when was that? What year was that?
Let's see, I'd say that's about 1930. About 1930, right after the Depression. And
that was a rough time, I guess. The Depression would
rough time.
Heavy
rough
moving.
Time. My grandpa, who stayed in Illinois, stayed in Taylorville, he owned three farms, actually, in that area, and he lost all three of them in the Depression because of the debt that there was on the farm and so forth. And then after that, he became the sheriff. So he was the sheriff of Taylorville. I'm not sure how many years, but yeah, that was a tough time. And my dad, my sister was born in 33, I think. And I was born in 35, and then I had another sister born in 37.
Well, having lost all the farms probably motivated your parents to move on and look to do something
else.
They
did. I think that's exactly right. And I think that's why they came west, was they thought the opportunities would be better.
So things weren't good in the 30s, even though. I mean, if they landed... landed in Rifle in the 30s.
Right, exactly.
What stories do they have of life back then?
Oh, gosh, you know, Dad never really told me too much about how tough it was in those days, but I know it was really tough. My grandpa, Adams, my mom's maiden name was Adams. My grandpa Adams actually started a restaurant, cafe in Rifle called Adams Cafe, which they had for years. And my mom had four sisters that actually worked in the cafe. My mom was the baker. She baked pies and all that kind of things for everybody. My Aunt Gladys, she was the cook. And my Aunt Rowena, she waited on tables. My grandpa was the smart one. He would sit out on the front and out by the cash register and collect the money as they came out.
Uh-huh.
So he had all these daughters that worked in the place. And so anyway, Adams Cafe was in Rifle. We actually moved to Glenwood in 1946 from Rifle.
But the cafe, mm-hmm. I mean, your folks came to Rifle. Did they, mm-hmm. did they join family there? Was your mom's side already in Rifle?
My mom's side was already in Rifle.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that family restaurant thing. I have a few years into that experience myself.
Yeah, and they had the Rifle Cafe. It was right on the main drag in Rifle on the south side of the street, and they had a cafe and bar in there, and they had it for years after we moved up to Glenwood. We moved, like I say, in Glenwood in 1946, but. My dad was kind of an unusual person. He was...
What do you mean by that?
Well, My dad was a gambler.
A gambler?
A gambler, yes.
You mean like in the literal sense, not just somebody who gambles with life, but actually gambles? The numbers guy.
With cards.
Ah.
With cards. My dad played a lot of poker and gin rummy.
Yeah.
In the old days, and he was very good at it. And he actually made a fair amount of money doing that. He started out, he used to actually own a pool hall in Rifle that had pool tables and card games, you know, poker. And he'd play there. And then when I moved to Glenwood, they used to have a pool hall between, you know, 7th and...
Uh-huh.
It's like kind of like there were like along where the Springs is.
Where the Springs is now, yeah.
And he used to play cards there, and then in about 19, we went to Glenwood in 46, and then in about 19, I think around 48, when I was about 13, he started, he bought some slot machines. He thought, I'm going to try to see if I can't get some slot machines going in this town. So he bought some slot machines.
So it was legal to have slot machine to gamble in Glenwood.
It was sort of legal.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it wasn't 100% legal, but it wasn't 100% illegal either. So it was kind of in the middle.
Now, wait a second. How does that work? The law wasn't enforcing it, but
true.
There was a law?
I think there was kind of a law against that, but nobody cared, you know. It just wasn't a big thing. And so he would actually had some slot machines, and he would always put them in bars behind a kind of a partition, a temporary partition or something. So if somebody came in the bar and they didn't know they were there, they wouldn't participate. It was just people who knew they were back there that would go play slot machines once in a while. And he had slot machines all over. He started in Glenwood, went to Rifle, went to Eagle, went to Redstone, went to Aspen, went to Basalt, Carbondale. He had slot machines. I imagine he had at least 400 slot machines working.
Wow.
So, and then in about that same time, he actually opened up a casino in Aspen in the basement of the Hotel Jerome. He had a casino in the basement of the Hotel Colorado, and he had his casino in Idaho Springs all at the same time. This is when I was a teenager, probably around 48, 49. And he...
Wow, he must have had a few people working for him then.
He did.
I mean, a casino in three of the major communities in the Western Slope.
Yeah.
And a string of
slot machines. Oh, yeah, he did.
Now, did he collect the money from the slot machines?
Well,
or
he had people who did. He would split the profit with the bar, wherever the slot machines were. And one of his best guys that worked with him was a guy named Abe Valesky. He worked for Dad, and he would collect a lot of the money and so forth. And I'm not sure if he had any part in the casinos or not. Probably did. But Dad was very knowledgeable about gambling, and so he put these casinos in. He used to tell me about an old actor by the name of Gary Cooper. And Gary Cooper was one of the first guys to build a house in Aspen.
Yeah, he was
one of the first celebrities
to come to Aspen, first skiing.
He was. And I remember Dad telling me, he didn't gamble a lot, but he would come down to the casino in the basement of the Hotel Jerome with his Levi's and his cowboy boots and his hat and his cowboy shirt, and he would sit there and roll cigarettes and smoke and just talk to the people, mostly. And my dad met him, and he said he was really a good guy.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Immigrant Stories program. I'm your host, Walter Gallagher, and my interview today is with Bill Barnes. Bill and Cliff Haycock ran Barnes and Haycock Accounting Firm for 40-plus years in Glenwood. Here, Bill describes his mother and father in the early days in Glenwood. Now, when your dad came to Rifle, did he immediately went and opened a...
I think he did.
A pool hall.
Yes.
And that's where he... So he knew how to play cards before he got...
He did.
He got there.
He did. I'm sure he did, yes. And I remember when I was little, he was a great boxing fan. And so I'm about 8 or 9 years old, and he said, son, I want you to come down and start hitting this bag. So he had one of those big old heavy bags in the pool room, you know, back in the back of the pool room, and I couldn't even move that thing. It was so heavy. It was on a big rope, you know, hanging
right
down.
Right.
And I would try to hit that thing, and I just wasn't doing very good. So, but he loved boxing, and he actually enrolled me when I was 9 years old in a Golden Glove boxing tournament.
So did you take to boxing? Did you like it, or was it just
something? No, no. It was just something he wanted me to do.
So you did it. Yeah.
So I did it. Oh. And we had it in the old, you know, where the Delaney Balcom building on right. Colorado there. That used to be called the old American Legion.
Legion Hall, yes. Yeah,
and we that's where we had the boxing thing. We had a regular ring set up right in the middle of the thing, and I had all these spectators and everything, and here I am. 8 or 9 years old, I'm going to box this little kid, this other kid. And I thought we were going to just punch around a little bit, you know, hit each other's
just
gloves
spar,
or something.
Just spar, but not really fight.
But he hit me about 3 times. Of course, I said, that's enough. I'm out of here.
I'm done.
So I got out of there. But anyway.
How did you and your dad get along? Was it? I mean, he wanted you to be a boxer. He wanted you to do those kinds of things, but you didn't really.
Actually, Dad and I got along great. I was never sure what he wanted me to be, but we got along fine. Dad spent a lot of time in the pool halls. Did spend a heck of a lot of time with the kids, you know, with us and that sort of thing. But you know, as I look back, he was a darn good guy. Proud that he was my dad.
He must have been really busy if. Because he was running three casinos and the slot machine business.
All the slot machine business, yes, he was. And he was really busy doing all that. And he was not crazy about working a lot, but he did love gambling. And he loved being in those casinos, you know. And you have to be... When you're in a casino, you know, one of the things that he told me one time, he says, one of the things I have to be so careful of is that they have these guys around that come around and, you know, put in their own dice and that sort of thing. And you have to have people that are really knowledgeable about that sort of thing and can watch that, you know, when they switch the dice on a crap table or something or whatever.
People who count cards, all those things that...
All those kind of things. Yeah, because he had blackjack, he had roulette. He had craps, you know, the whole works, slot machines.
When you're gambling in slot machines, it does attract the people you just described, people who are trying to make an easy buck. And
absolutely.
So your father must have had a fair amount of problems, I mean, with the law as well.
Oh, absolutely did. And not only that, but when he started the casino, especially in Idaho Springs.
Oh, he branched out.
Yeah, he had a casino in Idaho Springs. And I don't know if you ever heard of the Smaldones. Smaldones, it was a...
Yes.
It was kind of a...
Describe who the Smaldones are for those that don't know.
Okay, Smaldones was
A crime syndicate.
They were a crime syndicate in Denver.
You were going to try to say it in
a nice
way.
Right, exactly. I was going to try to say it some way, other way. But anyway, they were putting pressure on my dad, and I can remember he'd come home and he was really worried about this. They were a little concerned that he was opening up this place in Idaho Springs, and which he did open up, and they were putting pressure on him to close it. And I'm not sure if they threatened him or what, but anyway, I know he was very worried about it.
Well, I would imagine the Smaldones did more than just ask him to close it.
Yeah, sure.
Did he ever talk about? I suppose he didn't, because he didn't want to scare the family. But I'm sure he was worried in a very intense way.
I was probably about 13 at the time. Even then, I remember that he was very worried about that. Even though he didn't really come out and say it exactly, but he was worried about the fact that they might not only convince him to close the one in Idaho Springs, but also they might be coming over to Glenwood and Aspen and so forth and start. But they did not.
Close him down.
And I'm not sure why they didn't, if he had to pay them off or what he did, but anyway, they didn't. So
I would imagine they reached some kind of understanding. Mm-hmm. So did your father move back from doing the Idaho Springs thing, or did he?
He did.
Yeah.
He did. He closed that one up, so.
That was the demarcation line.
Yeah.
The Smaldones owned the east side.
I think it was, yes. Yeah, I think it was.
So how did your mom take to all this? What What was her attitude?
Well, Mom, you know, she's pretty much stay-at-home mom. She didn't ever work anywhere, and I'm sure she was worried, too, about the whole situation, you know. But Dad, pretty much. Dad made the living. Mom stayed at home, and she was an incredible mom. So,
tell me about her. What?
Oh, she was just, you know, one of her big problems was from the time she was 30, got rheumatoid arthritis. And so most of the my life that I knew her, she struggled walking and doing things. But, you know, up until she passed away when she was 71, and she took care of her. She was in a nursing home for about 6 months. But prior to that, she took care of herself. And even though she had struggled, her knees were, I remember her knees being swollen so much they were probably double the size they should be. And but she had a lot of courage. She was an incredible baker. She used to make the best. One of my favorites was it was a banana coconut cream pie that she used to specialize in, and she made the best crust, you know, and she was great.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Immigrant Stories program. My interview today is with Bill Barnes. Bill is a certified public accountant who grew up in Glenwood Springs. Here he describes his memories of the end of World War II.
Well, you were a kid during the war. What memories do you have of that?
Oh, my gosh. I can remember when the war was over in 1945. I was standing out in the street, and there was all this yelling, and these cars started going by, and all these American flags stuck out of these cars. And in those days, they had cars with a rumble seat. You know, that's that thing in the back. Folds out in the back. And there was people in those rumble seats, and they were waving their flags, and I'm sure they might have been having a beer or two. And
you think?
I mean, it was just an incredible. I remember that time to this day. And when we were kids, Glenwood was about 2,500 people, and South Grand was just a two-way street from all the way along the golf course, and had all these cottonwoods that were probably 60 feet high, and they would come together in the middle, and we used to go up to the top of. Mostly 9th Street, sometimes 8th Street as well. And they build a bonfire at the top of 9th Street with old tires. And then we would sled down. We could sled, believe it or not, down 9th Street all the way to Grand Avenue. Wow. If you got a good run where the snow was pretty icy.
So would they just block the street off? Or
they did, exactly. They had those yellow, you know, kind of barriers that they blocked the street off. So anybody coming up there would know that there was... Maybe some watch for sledders.
How long did your dad stay in the casino business?
I can't remember for sure, but I think it was around for about 2 to 3 years is all. And then the state, I don't know if there were some complaints around Colorado. I'm sure there's other guys in the other parts of the state doing the same thing. So they may have maybe been complaints or something. I'm not sure, but... Anyway, they did pass a law that put him out of business.
Huh.
So.
What did he do then?
What did he do then? Well, he made quite a lot of money during that time. He and a fellow by the name of, his name is Orville Morris. He and Dad bought a hardware store called B&M Hardware.
Right downtown.
Which is right downtown, just... It was between 8th and 9th, about a third of the way up the block on the west side, and bought that hardware store, and he stayed in there and he worked now and then in the hardware store. Actually, this Orville Morris, who they called him Shoes, he was the one that actually managed the store, and Dad just worked now and then. He continued to play cards at the pool hall, and actually, Dad never believed in real estate because of the memories of his dad losing all those farms in Illinois. And
that
so
explains
he drilled three dry oil wells up in Wyoming. He thought he became an oil well expert. So he drilled the first one, it was dry. Well, that isn't going to happen again. So he drilled another one somewhere else. And that, so three times. So he lost a lot of money in the oil business. Anyway, and then after the hardware store, this was later on, he bought a restaurant business in Rifle called Max Cafe. I don't know if you ever heard of that. But
yeah.
He was in that for a few years, lost some money in that. And then he started another pool hall. And by that time, he was getting up there in years, and he ran that pool hall for 2 or 3 years and then got out of that business and just kind of retired.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Immigrant Stories program. I'm your host, Walter Gallagher, and my interview today is with Bill Barnes. Bill and Cliff Haycock ran Barnes & Haycock Accounting Firm in Glenwood Springs for over 40 years. How did your parents get along? Were your parents, what was their relationship like?
It was good. Yeah, Mom and Dad, along Dad was gone a lot, you know, because he worked hard, and then he played a lot of poker at night. And so he would come home like at 6 o'clock, and he'd be down working around the hardware store or wherever, and then he'd come home, and then he'd leave about 7:30 or 8, and he'd go play poker till 2 in the morning.
Wow.
And then he'd come back. I remember one thing he used to do for us, he would come by the Glenwood Cafe, 2 o'clock, because this stayed open, I think, all night, come by the Glenwood Cafe and get a quart of chocolate malt. And he would bring it home to us, and he would put it in 3 glasses, and all he'd have to say is chocolate malt, and we would just automatically sit up in bed. And he'd hand us each a glass of chocolate malt. And
at 2 o'clock in the morning, he'd come in and give you a chocolate malt.
Yes.
Now, that's quite the story.
Yeah. And one time my sisters thought they'd be smart, so I went to bed. And they decided, let's play a trick on Bill and see if he'll do it. So they just got a glass of water. And they came into the bedroom and said, chocolate malt, chocolate malt. And I sat up in bed just like you know, I was
clockwork.
Yeah. And they would give me they gave me this glass of water, and I drank it down like it was a chocolate malt and went right back to sleep.
Yeah. So you became a numbers man of a different sort. Your dad was a numbers man.
He was.
But he kind of guided you into doing accounting.
I think he did kind of guided me into becoming an accountant because he was a numbers guy. I mean, he could remember cars like you can't imagine, you know, that had been played, and he could figure the odds in his head and all that sort
wow.
of thing. Yeah, I became a numbers guy, graduated from DU, and then I worked in Denver for a couple of years after I got out of the Army, and then came back to Glenwood and worked for CPA here. And then my partner of about 40 years, Cliff Haycock, and I bought the accounting firm from a fellow by the name of Dan Handy. We worked for for a few years.
Yeah.
What
was he like, Dan Handy?
Dan? Oh, he's a very nice, he was a very good guy, good accountant. Accounting was his life. He had no kids. And so he didn't understand when we wanted time off, see our families.
So he had no kids.
He didn't have any kids. And we used to work, I'm telling you, we worked 65, 70 hours a week during tax season.
A boss
it was rough.
That. Yeah.
And then after tax season, we had a lot of audits that ended December 31st. And of course, they were waiting for us to get through tax season so we could do those audits. And then we were behind on the audits. So he expected us to continue to work 50, 60 hours a week. We said, we're not doing that.
So you had to have a coming together, a meeting of the minds.
We did. And
well, it's hard work. I mean, it's the accounting business.
It is.
It's nonstop for parts of the year.
I tell you, you're sitting down a lot, but it's still, you know, it's not physical, but it's a lot of mental work, and you know, and especially when in those days we were actually doing more work. We were actually had more work than we can do based on the size of our firm. And so we were always behind. So no matter, we were always trying to make excuses for, well, where's my stuff?
you know, where's my tax return? Oh, yeah. Where's the audit? How's the audit coming? You know, all this stuff. We'd have to spend a little time here and a little time there. And it was.
That must have been stressful.
It was.
Always playing catch up.
It was extremely stressful. Yeah, it was.
Do you miss it?
Yeah. I miss it a little bit, you know.
What part do you miss?
We did tax returns for people for 30 years, and they became good friends. And then when my daughter, Lindy, you know, she's a CPA, and she took over what I did.
Two of your daughters are numbers people.
They are, you know.
Shannon's a numbers person.
Yeah, Shannon is.
Shannon works for.
Yeah, Shannon's a CPA. Works for RE. She's the finance person for RE1, and Lindy took over the CPA firm, and so I miss the contact with my old friends.
That was Bill Barnes. Bill wanted me to let you know that actually all three of his daughters deal with numbers. His daughter Casey designs office building workspaces for large businesses. And speaking of numbers, this year Bill and Barb will celebrate 59 years together. You've been listening to the Immigrant Stories program. For more on Immigrant Stories, please go to our website, immigrantstories.net. Thanks so much for listening.